Welcome to the Wisconsin Music Podcast.
Welcome to the Wisconsin Music Podcast. This week we have Bruce Humphreys, and he belongs to the group Bruce Humphreys and the Rockabilly Rebels. He has opened for major acts like the Brian Setzer Orchestra, Hazel Atkins, Hank Thompson, Rosie Flores, and much, much more. He has sold music worldwide and has played some major rockabilly festivals like the Coney Island Rockabilly Fest in Brooklyn, Uno Gogo in Chicago, Illinois, and Wisconsin's own SYMCO, Simcoe, and Northern Roundup. Bruce, welcome to the Wisconsin Music Podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I appreciate it. Glad to be here.
So for the listeners, why don't you kind of give them your music origin story? How did you get started into music and kind of how it got you to where you are today?
Oh, I started playing music. Well, I wouldn't consider it music back then, but in high school, I wanted to play drums and wasn't a very good drummer. And so I wanted to be more up front. I didn't want to be sitting in the back. So I switched over to guitar and just kind of messed around on that and was in cover bands, you know, like alternative cover bands, playing Ramones, Violent Femmes, Cramps. And then started writing my own stuff. And what is 40 years later, I'm still playing, which is pretty amazing because, you know, you're a musician, you have lots of ups and downs and it takes a while and a lot of people just kind of give up and quit and move on to something else. But
right,
for some reason it stuck with me. So yeah, here I am playing same kind of music and maybe a little bit calmer.
So what kind of drew you to the rockabilly genre?
Yeah. Well, you know, I think it was about 8 years ago, I turned 50 and I started kind of reflecting on, you know, my life and how I ended up getting where I am. And that includes the music. And I realized that I was really big into the Beatles when I, you know, back in the early 70s, 9, 10, 12 years old. And I didn't really put it together until years later that they were playing a lot of rockabilly songs from Carl Perkins, Eddie Cochran, Chuck Berry, all that kind of stuff.
Okay.
And then the 80s came and there was the punk new wave movement that included the Stray Cats, the neo rockabilly revival. And yeah, so, you know, that kind of started off a huge love for rockabilly and that old school kind of rock and roll. And also, I had been collecting swing records from thrift stores for a while, so I knew about swing. Yeah. Yeah. So that's kind of what started that. I just never thought about really playing it. I was much better at playing two-finger power chords, doing a Ramones kind of thing.
Okay.
And eventually said, well, let's start a rockabilly band, see what happens.
Gotcha. And for listeners that maybe haven't really experienced what rockabilly is, what would be your best description of what that genre encompasses?
I think they say it's the bastard son of the blues. So it's old school country, hillbilly music, and combined with some rock and roll. So early Elvis Presley. Everybody knows Elvis.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be my description what it is. If somebody was asking me what the heck is rockabilly, which they do a lot. Because people just don't know. Kind of hillbilly music with some rock and roll in it. And
what's the basic instrumentation for like a rockabilly group?
Well, for a true rockabilly band, it'll probably be acoustic guitar, lead singer, upright bass, and a drummer with a stripped down drum set. But then you know, and you're playing songs kind of like Elvis Presley. And then there's, you know, other genres that kind of came off of that, like psychobilly, which is mixing the punk, is a little bit closer to the punk rock, you know, adding punk rock influences to that, neo rockabilly, which adds a lot more newer production in the studio, more players. So currently we have four players in our band. It's me playing rhythm guitar on electric and sometimes on acoustic, a lead player, a bass player, and a drummer.
Gotcha. So what is the local scene attitude towards your group, like the positives of it?
Yeah, well, we've gotten great response. It's pretty amazing because I grew up in Indiana, went to school in Kentucky, in Kansas, lived in Texas, lived in Tennessee, lived in Philadelphia, and I've played music at all those places. But usually you're just kind of like the backing soundtrack to something. People are sitting at the bar watching television. You're playing music to backs of heads.
Right.
So it's been pretty amazing up here. It's like people are really into going out and seeing music and not just having it as the background noise. So, and plus, you know, rockabilly and beer kind of go hand in hand. And I've been told there's a lot of beer drinkers up here. And Harley, the Harley Davidson crowd, you know, motorcycles and rockabilly, it's just that it's kind of goes hand in hand also.
Yeah.
Lifestyle there that the music that I'm writing fits in perfect with that. And I get a really good response. I've gotten a great response up here at festivals, at fairs, clubs. It's kind of odd. It definitely made me reflect back and, you know, why is that? Why is all the, mm-hmm. all these other places that I've played like that? And why is Milwaukee, Wisconsin in general, you know, different from all those other places? You know, I don't know if I've actually figured it out, but you know, I'm not complaining. Life is good.
Good. Yeah, that's good. Is there any struggles you've seen in the live scene that just seems to be a hindrance or something that could be activated to help, if it was turned around, would help the scene for you?
I think it's just the support of original music acts.
Gotcha.
Is kind of the main hurdle. And I feel like, you know, I've got three agencies that I work with. And the majority of the acts seem to be cover bands. And so I feel very lucky to be a part of that crowd, to be able to get booked from those agencies. Because we play, a majority is original music. Now, if we're playing a 3 or 4 hour set, then we throw in covers from Roy Orbison, Chuck Berry, Johnny Cash, of course, all those. Excuse me. But yeah, it's just kind of getting recognized as an original artist, because cover bands, that's where it's at. You know, cover bands are going to make a heck of a lot more money than what we're pulling in.
Gotcha.
People want to go out and hear things that they recognize, which I totally get. I understand that. But again, for the response that we've been getting playing my originals, you know, I think we're pretty blessed.
Nice. So with being a mostly original band, what do you do to help promote like your shows and other things of that nature to get people to notice your group?
Yeah, social media. And I'm not social media savvy at all. Pretty much none of the guys in the band are. You know, we're all at least in our 50s at this point, pushing 60, if not, I think actually someone is in their 60s. You know, we're old school. We used to hang up flyers on telephone poles. We don't do that anymore. I'm on social media promoting it on all these different Wisconsin, our Milwaukee music Facebook pages. You know, I try to do some video of our songs. Like, so with this new album, instead of dropping the whole album at one time and having it get lost in the shuffle, mm-hmm. we're releasing a single at a time. So like every month I'll release another song. I'll make a video for it. We'll post it all over social media in hopes that it will generate more interest and kind of keep our name out there.
Mm-hmm.
Because our first album, we just put it out there. And then of course, 3 months later, COVID hit. Not that it would make any difference, but I figured the worst thing that could happen by releasing them via singles, I'm losing 0.0003 cents a stream online. And, you know, the fact is we're not getting that many streams no matter what. So,
yeah. If you are enjoying these episodes, please consider donating to the Wisconsin Music Podcast. Donations help pay for the website and putting the podcast up on streaming services, and also getting our name out there to all Wisconsinites and others that are interested in our great music here in Wisconsin. Donations are secured through PayPal and Stripe. All you have to do is go to the website and click on Donate to WMP. So you just mentioned your newest recording. Why don't you kind of give the listeners a little journey from the beginning to the releases, you know, how did you start the project? Who's involved? Not only the musicians, but on the other side of the glass as well. Was it a DIY or did you go to a studio? Things of that nature.
Yeah, so our drummer has a home studio. You know, I've always wanted to go into a studio, but if I'm going to spend that much money, it makes more sense to buy the equipment and I'll have the equipment and do it ourselves. Now, of course, it's not going to sound the same, but we'll save a lot of money and, you know, maybe the next album will be studio, like, you know, expensive studio quality. So we started this almost 2 years ago. We recorded the basics in our drummer's basement. I brought the files home. I started building a studio at my house. So I started putting it together here. It just was released this summer. It would not have taken as long if I went somewhere and paid a lot of money or if I knew how to run the software that I was editing it on. So there's a lot of trial and error, lots of error. But it was rewarding in the process. But yeah, so I got Lorenzo Rapani on lead guitar, John Steffes on bass, Kurt Weber on drums, and I'm on guitar and singing. I do play some piano on one song. Unfortunately, we lost John Steffes earlier this summer to cancer.
Oh.
But was very grateful to have him on this album and kind of, you know, he helped out so much with the process.
Gotcha.
As far as, you know, other people, we did a Kickstarter campaign. And I honestly did not think, because we're older, we don't have a big social media presence, I did not think we would make our goal. But people really stepped up and we made it. And I was able to release it on a real CD, release it on vinyl, you know, get a good recording. Get 3D. Well, the artwork for the CD and the vinyl are all both in 3D.
Oh, cool.
And the glasses come with it. So they're custom made glasses. So it's kind of a fun, different release. I'm trying to kind of come up with different ways of releasing something to generate interest.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just an audio experience, it's a visual experience too. So I was really excited that that all turned out.
On a side note, I've heard that getting vinyl from sending them your music to receiving the album back takes multiple months. How many months did it take for you to get that turnaround?
That's what I heard too. In fact, I was told basically plan on it taking a year. So I was expecting it to be done in March. It came in the mail almost a month and a half, maybe 2 months ago at this point. So it took about 6 months, if that.
Okay.
It was quick, considering what I was told.
Right.
You know, 6 months is definitely a long time, but, you know, when you're expecting something a year later and it comes in half the time, it, you know.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Because
there's hope for people that want to release something in a relatively short amount of time, half of a year.
Right.
At least the company I went with, you know, I don't know what other companies are like, but
right. And how many did you have made? Did you do like 1,000 run or half of that, or what was it?
Half of that. We okay. I think the total count was 245 that came in.
Okay.
So yeah, it's very limited run. We'll see how this one sells. This one has tricolor vinyl. The next printing, if we actually are lucky enough to have to do that, will just be either one color or just black. I don't think I'll have custom glasses made, so that this first pressing might be a little bit more, I don't want to say valuable, because I don't think it will ever be valuable. I'd like for it to be, but you never know. Chances are it won't be, but it will be a special edition. So
cool. Yeah. It's nice to see that some of these music being reproduced back onto vinyl has had a comeback. It's very cool, because I think vinyl has a very, it's not just a nostalgic niche thing, but it actually has a cool vibe to it of its own, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I've always loved vinyl. I obviously, if you see behind me, there's a small collection.
Just a small, yeah.
Yeah.
If someone asked you, what were your I don't want to say your top or your favorites, but if you wanted to show them or have them hear three great examples of songs off that album, what would it like be the three that you would like to pick? And maybe we'll put them on the podcast for you.
The three songs, first one would be Coming Down Hard. In My Backyard would be another one. And probably Leave the Lights On. That's hard to pick three.
Right.
You know? Yeah, I would probably say those three because, well, Coming Down Hard's just a rocker. It opens the CD.
Well, how y'all doing? I'm glad you're here. I just as hell hope you brought some beer, 'cause I plan on drinking all night long. For me to keep standing, I need some juice, a tight wound cig and a bottle of booze. I need a boost, and man, I need it now. Oh, no, I'm coming down, baby, coming down hard. You said you got a stash in the back of your car. Let's get dolly, let's get gone. Something to say, but now that I'm high, it's all gone away. But it all sent further than it ever did before. Well, give me a minute, an hour or two, a couple more, honey, and the buzz will be through. Here comes trouble, and it looks a lot like you. I know I'm coming down, baby, coming down hard. You say you got a sash in the back of your car. Let's get dialing, let's get gone.
In My Backyard, I wrote during COVID. Well, I started writing before COVID. I finished it during COVID. I always joke that, it's not a joke. It was a really depressing, sad time, and we needed happy songs. And I ended up writing a song about growing old, falling apart, and dying.
Okay.
A lot of my songs have humor in it. Mm-hmm. So that's In My Backyard. It just talks about, getting older and, the issues health-wise. Yeah, I'll save the rest for you guys just to listen to. And
there's times like this, I sit and wonder just what the hell became of me. It hurts to wake up in the morning, and in the middle of the night I've gotta pee. No one ever said it'd be easy. No one ever said it could get this hard. Just put me in a coffin and bury my ass in the backyard. Daydreaming. The problem is that I never woke up. Now hair's growing out of strange places, and the crow's replacing the laces. Yeah, no one ever said it'd be easy, but no one ever said it could get this.
And then Leave the Lights On is just a special song because my mom, when we were younger, she said she'd always leave the porch light on no matter what her kids were doing. So basically, if we got sent to prison, not that that would happen, and this is a drastic experience.
Okay.
Example. But if we got sent to prison, she'd always have the porch light on and welcome us back home. So no matter what happened, what the kids were doing, there'd always be a light. And so that kind of stuck with me. So I wrote that. The title inspired me. The lyrics themselves don't necessarily reflect that experience, but
mm-hmm.
nowhere to go. If it disappeared, nobody knows. It's been that way since he was young, when his daddy bailed and took his life with a gun. And mama said she'd leave the lights on, I'll leave them on until she's dead and gone. Yeah, mama said she'd leave the lights on, gone. Now it just won't make any difference which path you choose to roam. There will always be one waiting for you, waiting at the door with open arms. Said she'd leave the lights on, I'll leave them on until she's dead and gone. Yeah, mama said she'd leave the lights on.
Leave the lights on is definitely a line that stuck with me for 20, 30 years.
So. Great. And yeah, that's amazing. So I'll insert those songs in there for you, and then the listeners can take a listen to that, and they can, you know, draw their own conclusions if they want to, and then go and see you play, you and your group.
Yeah.
So, speaking, you know, you said you released this on CD and also on vinyl, but where can people see that or hear this, like, digitally? Do you have, like, Bandcamp? I mean, are they on the streaming sites? Where else can they hear this?
Yeah, I think you could actually hear all the songs on Bandcamp, now that you mention it. Spotify, we have 5 singles from the album on there now. You can go to my website at brucehumphreys.com. We have videos, links to all the you know, YouTube and Instagram and all that. You know, obviously come out to the shows. So right now we have the vinyl and the CD. We've been selling at shows. We just don't, not releasing them all online.
Right.
And then there's 4 local record stores in town that you can pick them up at Record Head, Bullseye Records, Lilliput, and Rushmore.
Cool. So listeners out there, if you want to go get your hard copy of that, you can go see them at a show or go to those record shops and check them out there or online like Bandcamp.com, where artists get a majority of what you spend on their music goes right back to them. So that's definitely a good thing, where streaming, unfortunately, you get 0.001 of a penny on the dollar, basically. Yeah. Where can they see you play?
Yeah, we've got in February, I believe, I don't have the date in front of me, we're playing at OPE, O-P-E Brewery. That's in West Allis, I believe. It's right over there near State Fair Park. We have been asked back for the Port Washington Fish Fry Festival. I don't have the dates for that, but you can go to my website, brucehumphreys.com, and you can check out the dates that we have kind of in the middle of booking for next year. So
listeners, go to this website when this airs, once you hear this, and go see when they're playing and go check them out, because rockabilly is an experience in and of itself, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
As we're winding down here, there's a couple more questions I have for you. One of them is work-life balance. Is that, I know you've talked about, you're now, you know, in your close to your 50s or early 50s. You've been playing a long time. Is it a struggle still, or you kind of got a good control over the balance?
I wish I was almost 50 or in my early 50s. I'm 58, so I'm pushing 60.
Okay.
It could be a challenge because, well, you're getting older and you're not as, you don't have the energy like you had when you were younger. So I've realized that I need to go and do more aerobic workout exercises, you know, during the week so that I can catch my breath when I'm playing. Because there are definitely times when I get winded. from running around there on stage or into the audience. And yeah, so that's a big hindrance. I do have an 11-year-old and a wife, so that could be challenging, except especially in the summer, because, you know, weekends are the time to go camping and all that. And so we're trying to find, you know, ways to be able to do that and, you know, do family stuff while I do the band stuff.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we don't play a lot in the winter, and winter's obviously not a good time to go camping. My 11-year-old daughter does get up and sing with me on stage from time to time, so that's a whole lot of fun.
Very cool.
Yeah, what else? Yeah, so, you know, as far as other work goes, I mean, I'm teaching guitar lessons. I just was recently hired to do a song for a soundtrack for an art video project that a local artist is working on. You know, I do eBay stuff. So, I mean, it's just, my life is insane. Nothing's, I don't make anything simple for me. You know, if I make a CD, I've got to have it in, you know, 3D. So I got to figure out the 3D process and then figure out the getting the glasses from China to the printing company so they can put it in, you know.
Gotcha.
It's just like, why not? I just simplify and just make it normal.
Yeah.
But I can't. I've never been that way. So.
Gotcha. Yeah. Cool. Yeah. But it seems like, you know, you have at least a decent control over the balance of most of the things that you're doing, it seems.
Sure.
Yeah. Sure.
As long as it appears that way.
Your wife hasn't kicked you out of the house yet.
Not yet, no.
Yeah.
No.
The last question I ask is, gigs that have made an impression on you as an artist and even as an audience member, is there some experiences that just blew your mind that you could tell the audience?
For my shows or just any shows?
It could be a show that you performed at, shows you've seen, things of that nature.
Well, you know, with the rockabilly thing, since I've got a lot of rockabilly influence. So I bought the Stray Cats album when I was a kid, and yeah. I listened to it and I'm like, yeah, it's okay. You know, it wasn't something that blew me away. And then I saw them in concert and watching, you know, the bass player run around with his upright bass on his shoulder, chasing guitar player, and the drummer getting up and standing on top of his drums and jumping off, and the guitar player getting up on the drums. It was just such a show.
Yeah.
It was so high energy and it was life changing. And then, you know, on the opposite of that, we went to go see the Cars before Rick Ocasek passed, obviously, because.
Yeah.
And he's never been one to really move around on stage. And he was a big influence when I was a kid also. So, you know, it's just kind of like watching a band stand there, play their songs. Not real exciting. I'm thankful I saw them, but, you know, it's like, I want to go see a show that's high energy, that they're into it. They're moving around. They're doing something. So it's not just audio experience. It's a visual experience also. You know, so I try to incorporate that into our shows. And, you know, we did open, you know, the other life changing or the great experience was opening for Setzer for a few shows on the East Coast when he was doing his orchestra.
Nice.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of a little bit longer story. But yeah, it was very surreal to be up on stage at the Trump Taj Mahal in Atlantic City with Setzer standing to the side watching us play. And, you know, I was a guitar player for someone that I was very much into when I was a kid. And
yeah,
somehow it ended up playing with him and, you know.
Very cool.
And then the next day I'm back home raking leaves in the front. Playing a sold out show at the Trump Taj Mahal and then raking leaves.
Yep.
But I learned so much from those experiences over there that, you know, that I apply to the band now. You know, just so much, so many influences.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Is there anything you'd like to add for the listeners to know about before I let you go today?
I can't really think of anything right off except for, you know, if you do pick up our CD, you know, with the glasses, there's a QR code on the side that will take you to our secret webs page on my website that has more 3D images. So, you know, I'm just trying to make this more of an experience for people that, you know, it's not just getting something. right. and listening, you can, you know, find these things and go explore other places and hear our stuff and yeah, support the band, support local music, support original music.
Excellent. Bruce, thank you so much for being on the Wisconsin Music Podcast. It's been a pleasure talking with you, learning, you know, all about you and your music and the things you've been doing. So thank you so much for being on the show.
Yeah, I really appreciate you having me. Thanks, man.
Well, thanks again for tuning in to another episode of the Wisconsin Music Podcast. Once again, I'm Zach Fell, your host and creator of the Wisconsin Music Podcast, where I love to amplify the great sounds coming out of the Wisconsin state. We have great talent here, great support, great listeners. Thanks to Fox City's Indie Radio for syndicating this on Wednesdays and Sundays, along with their other great programming. So make sure you check out the Fox City's Indie Radio. Thanks so much to Bruce for being on the show this week. If you'd like to be on the show, just go up to wisconsinmusicpodcast.com, fill out the guest request form up at the top, ask for your email and your name, and then I'll send you an auto email asking you for more information. If you are enjoying these episodes, please consider donating to the Wisconsin Music Podcast. Donations help pay for the website and putting the podcast up on streaming services, and also getting our name out there to all Wisconsinites and others that are interested in our great music here in Wisconsin. Donations are secured through PayPal and Stripe. All you have to do is go to the website and click on Donate to WMP. And also make sure you like and subscribe us on all social media and on YouTube.